Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
And welcome to the June 7th edition of Smart Garden. And who's with me? Well, it's Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny, and good morning, everybody out there.
Nice to have you with us. Nice morning. According to the forecast, it looks like we can get some much-needed rain here for this weekend. I know there may be some outdoor plans, some grad parties, et cetera, but we need the rain as well. So bring it on here, at least occasionally.
Yes.
We have some new gardeners joining us this morning, too. It's always nice to hear.
Oh, that's wonderful.
If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how busy we tend to get. So call us or text us with Teresa in mind. She'll be answering those questions today at 651-461-9226. That's a nice paragraph, but succinctly put, let me just say this. He or she wants to start a small garden, and they want to learn how to grow garlic. What's the process of growing garlic?
All right. So you can go ahead and start your garden now. You're not going to plant your garlic, though, until about October 1st.
In the fall.
In the fall, yep. So it's very strange. So we plant garlic in the fall, and then it will come up a little bit, and that will freak you out because you're thinking, oh no, it's going to snow and it's growing. It's not going to be big enough in time. Don't worry about it. You mulch it very well with maybe some crushed up leaves or straw as the ground starts to freeze a little bit and get very chilly. And then the ground will freeze and the garlic will be there all winter. And then in the spring, when we get the warm weather, when spring's there, you can start pulling back the mulch, and then the garlic will continue to grow. And then you wait until about mid-June, or then your garlic will start, and this is hardneck garlic, and I'll explain the difference in a minute, but your garlic will start to send up like a straight stalk, and then it will start to curl. That's called a scape, S-C-A-P-E, scape, like landscape, whatever, but it's a scape. You can eat that. So you would cut that off, and you can eat the last, say, 10 or 12 inches, 5 inches, whatever it is. You can saute that up, and it's very delicious. It's like a green. It'll be a green for you. And then you'll notice about a week or two later, the garlic starts to look like it's dying. The leaves will start to brown up, and then once we have a nice stretch of dry weather, then when most of the leaves have started to die, you can carefully dig your garlic up, and then you can store it or eat it, whatever you're going to do. And if you want to, you can save the biggest cloves. I know we always want to eat the biggest ones, but we save the biggest and best ones to plant again the next October.
Oh,
and you just redo it over and over again. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks to Texter for that. That's and good luck. Have fun.
Have fun. And I should explain hard neck and soft neck garlic. The soft neck garlic is the one you find in the grocery stores. When you open up the head of garlic, you'll find all the little garlic cloves there, and that's all there is. When you open up a head of hard neck garlic, the cloves will be there like in a circle around the base, and then there'll be a like a big thick stem coming up, and you would pull off each clove carefully and plant that. We have great information on the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and that will tell you how to plant garlic. If you plant garlic cloves now, you're just going to get something that kind of looks like a little green onion. It'll still taste like garlic, but it won't be a whole big head of garlic.
Oh, interesting. All right, yeah, good idea. Always check out the U of M website, extension.umn.edu. Teresa, let's grab a phone call. Andrew calling in from St. Paul this morning. Thank you, Andrew. What is your question for Teresa?
Yeah, I have some comfrey growing in the yard next to the garden. I'm trying to get rid of it, and I'm wondering, if I run it over with the lawnmower before it goes to seed, will that cause it to spread, or can I just keep it down by running it over with the lawnmower?
The comfrey can just get bigger, so running it over with the lawnmower before it goes to seed would be fine. You can also just you could also just cut it off and then take those leaves and use those as a mulch. They break down very quickly and then make a nice mulch. If you're thinking that it's spreading by seeds and you don't want to run it over with the lawnmower, you can just, as soon as the flowers look like they're going by a little bit, you can just take off all the flowers that's deadheading, and then they won't set any seed for you. But comfrey has really deep roots, so it's hard to dig it up to get rid of it. You may have to do that a number of times if you do want to get rid of it. You may even just want to carefully dig it up, and if you don't have jumping worms in your yard, you could offer it to someone else who might want comfrey. It's a plant that a lot of us want to grow in our gardens.
Interesting.
Yep. But once you have it, it's hard to get rid of.
Hard to get rid of. Texter wants to know, would it be okay to trim a branch or two off my Northwind Korean maple this time of year?
Sure. Go ahead. That's fine.
Okay. Easy enough. Again, phone number is same as the text number, 651-461-9226. Let me find, there's more that were coming in here. Okay, we have peas that are losing color. They are now barely green. They are regularly watered using Minneapolis City Water. They've been fertilized, get full sun. What do you think?
Yeah, peas are a cool season crop, so if they don't look like they're thriving, it could just be that this is the end of the plant for this year. So plant your peas as soon as you can work your soil in the spring. You may want to save, if you've got more peas in the seeds that you have, just save them and plant them again maybe toward the middle to the end of August, and you can get a second crop. Should be plenty of time for you to get a second crop at that time. But they are what is called a cool season crop. And sometimes we've had some hot weather, and that can really trigger a lot of these cool season crops to just pack up their suitcases and leave.
Dang. Another phone call on the way. Boris checking in from Minneapolis this morning. Boris, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
I have my house is kind of located. I have like a little, you know, forest next to our house, basically. And there's these things called wheat trees. And they, you know, they're getting kind of close to the house. And I've tried everything to get rid of them. I look out my window in the morning sometimes, this time of year with all the rain. Yikes! You know, I mean, what the heck?
It's like they're attacking.
Yes, exactly.
So what you can do is, depending on how big they are, if you can get them when they're just small seedlings, just keep cutting them off at the ground. That will help. You've got a bunch in the forested area, so they're going to seed into your lawn, into your yard, all the time. So this is something you're going to have to deal with as long as you live in that location. But the easiest thing to do is just be prepared. Maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, you go out onto the in the yard. When you're mowing them, you're usually, it's amazing. We would all have a forest like that around our yard if we didn't mow the turf, because the seedlings would come up in the yard, but you don't see them in the grass because you keep mowing it. So you just have to pretend to be a mower and chop them down right at the ground level. A pruner will help you with that. Just keep chopping them at the ground level. The young seedlings, once you chop them, they don't have that much energy to come back again. But there's a seed bank in the soil, so the more the soil is disturbed, the more seedlings you'll see. And if you let them get ahead of you, it just is a little harder to knock them back and kill them. That's the easiest thing to do. So take a cup of coffee out there once or twice a month or three times a month and just do a little hand pruning. Good luck, right, Boris.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take this bit of a break here. Be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show this morning, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, you can call or ask Teresa Rooney that question via text or a phone call, 651-461-9226. Well, Teresa, of course, we have about a million text messages so far, so tis the season, I guess. This listener wants to know, when should I apply Bloom Booster Fertilizer to my daylilies? They have yet to send any stalks up. But I wanted to make sure, they said they have the adequate nutrients to make plentiful blooms. What do you think?
If they haven't sent up anything yet, you could go ahead and give them maybe a half dose. Just read the instructions and follow them. It may say once they're blooming, then feed once a week or whatever. But read and follow the instructions. A half a dose may just give it a little kickstart and just get it up and growing. It's still a little early. I know my daylilies are just starting to set some buds, which surprised me. But I guess they're just hanging with whatever happens in the weather. So I think depending upon where all our plants are, they're just a little off kilter. So I would go ahead and give it a half dose now.
Another listener wants to know, how long after using Roundup can you reseed?
You know, it really depends. You have to find the same container, or if you still have the container, read the instructions. Some of them are an extended release. Some are like 3 days. Some are 7 days. Some are 3 months. You really have to read the instructions. The label is the law. So, and if the printing's too small, go to the website and help. They should be able to help you, or bring the container back to a garden center and wherever you purchased it from, and the people there should be able to help you. If you didn't purchase it at a garden center, maybe bring the container back to a garden center. If you purchased it from a big box store, they'll be able to give you really good instructions if the label isn't making any sense. But read the label. The label is the law.
Very good. Another phone call. Paul calling in this morning from Renville, I do believe. Paul, thank you. What is your question?
Yeah, I have a 15-year-old plum tree, and I end up getting woody plums every year.
Okay. Did you ever get good plums from that tree, Paul?
Maybe 10 years ago, for a couple
years.
10 years
ago. But recent, and then the tree did not seem to die and come back or anything like that, right?
Right.
Okay. It could just be the tree is getting old. I'm not quite sure why the plums would be so impacted. Make sure that they're getting full sun. Make sure that you're harvesting at the right time. The fruit trees only usually live for us maybe 10 to 20 years. It's hard work to put out all that fruit, and it wears the tree out pretty quickly. The reason I asked if it died back or anything was just in case it died back and the rootstock took over. So if you've noticed something weird like that, like the trunk is now coming from, there's a dead trunk and a new trunk, and that's the trees you're getting. It could just be that the rootstock has taken over. Otherwise, I don't have a really good explanation. What you might want to do is send that question to the Ask a Master Gardener. You can find that at extension.umn.edu, and then they could do some heavy research and get back to you. You can even send some up to 3 pictures that may help them see that, oh, it looks like there's something going on here with light situation or something. You can always top dress with a little bit of compost. That might help. But why the plums would be woody, maybe it's not they're not having enough moisture. That to me would indicate something, maybe with a moisture or something. But I honestly don't know and don't have a good answer for you right now, Paul. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, check the website.
Yep, check the website. Idea. Contact those master gardeners. Put them to work. Make them do some research. Right. They can't all just be hanging out in their gardening, sipping tea, you know.
I like the way you think. All right. this texter, Teresa, said, I planted marigolds after the cold weather. The leaves are turning a dark burgundy/brown color. Tips are drying up. What's going on?
Oh, it sounds like there's something strange in the soil. You may want to dig them up to make sure the roots look okay. Perhaps a light application of fertilizer might work, but also check, you know, did something happen? Was there some chemical dumped there, a chemical spray? Your neighbors had a lawn care company come in and they've sprayed for weeds. Could a dog have peed on it by any chance? If you're seeing it across all of the marigolds, you may even just want to take them all out if they don't seem to recover in about a half a month and then start over again, maybe in a different selection with the same seeds and see if those seeds come up and look good. But sometimes it's an imbalance of macro and micronutrients in the soil that with some fertilizing and some watering, good water, they can come back from. But otherwise, I don't have a good answer for that one either. I'm going to have to retire my Master Gardener thing, I guess.
No, not yet. No.
Not yet.
Not wait till the show's over. Then.
Okay. I'll wait till the show's over.
All right. Here is another text before we break for the forecast. I have an azalea that was slow to leaf out this year, and when it did leaf out, most of the leaves appear to have insect damage with little left of the leaves. No insects are visible. Also, it only had a few flowers this spring. Any idea what insects are causing the damage, and do you think it'll leaf out again this year?
There were sawflies on a lot of the azaleas. They can become hit by sawfly larvae, which is little worms on there. Once you can't see the insects and the insects appear to be gone, hopefully it should come out. They are a very shallow-rooted plant with a very fibrous root system. We had a winter that had no snow or little snow. If they weren't mulched well and watered well going into the fall, they may have suffered some root damage. So what you might want to do is just make sure you've acidified that soil, maybe with a top application of soil sulfur. Make sure they stay well watered, and do make sure that you're giving them some kind of mulch to protect that shallow root system. Good luck.
Okay. Good morning. Texter says, can I transplant a newer mulberry bush that appeared among my flowers?
You can if you want to. They're quite an aggressive tree, so understand it will get quite large and it will set mulberries and they will self-seed all over your yard, as you can see that they did in your garden. Go ahead and transplant it. That's just fine. They're tough little plants, but it can become a huge tree, and understand it could get really big. And go ahead and do it. Yep, sure, you can do it. And just if it's getting hot and stressful, make sure that you do it on a cooler day like today would be great. It's kind of overcast and we're going to have some rain.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's do this. Let's have a break, see what the forecast calls for, not only the rest of this weekend, but this coming week as well. Then the remainder of our Smart Garden Show brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this morning.
Hey, at, Denny.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to hold on to my Master Gardener job.
Oh, good.
So I did a little research. Those marigold that are turning purple leaf, mm-hmm. there may be a phosphorus shortage, which is really strange in our area.
Yeah.
But so the little bit of fertilizer might help.
Okay. All right. Thanks for doing that. And your license has been renewed. Or whatever you call it.
Or whatever.
All right. Let's see where else. We have so many texts. Here's another one. When my rhubarb came up, I fertilized it and I got nice stalks. Now the stalks are skinny and plentiful. Why do you think this is happening?
if they've always stalked and had thick stalks before, they are a heavy feeder, so you may want to top dress with a little compost and then maybe give them a touch more fertilizer for the next time. It's just, they're just so happy and they're growing that they're just putting out a bunch of little stalks.
Okay.
The stalks will still taste delicious, though.
Oh, they will. Okay.
Yeah, they'll still be delicious. Good.
I love rhubarb.
I do, too.
This listener has tomatoes in 30-pound grow bags. If it hasn't rained in a few days, how much should I water? And by that, I mean how long to keep a hose on the bag with the water turned on about halfway.
Okay, that's hard to tell you how long to do it. So what you may want to do is say water for 15, 20 minutes. But before you even water, if you don't have a water meter, you have the four water meters on every hand. So you stick one of your fingers into the soil about where the tomato roots would be starting and see how damp the soil is. Sometimes if it's a cool weather and we don't have rain, they might not need to be watered. But you do want to keep them watered if they need to. Those grow bags are wonderful so they don't get overwatered as often. Then go ahead if they need water. Give them a good drink of water. You time it, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you think is the right. Engage how fast you've got the water flowing. And then wait maybe an hour or two or even the next day. Go out and feel the soil again. And then you know the estimate of how much you've put down. And then you can do that to gauge when you need to water the soil. It's really hard because I don't know the situation. I don't know how windy it was. I don't know exactly what potting soil you've used. I don't know how sunny it is. So all those things can really input. And I don't know what your water pressure is compared to my water pressure. So it's just
a lot of variables there.
There's a lot of variables in there. So we do the best we can. And you want the soil around tomatoes to be like a wrung out sponge. So when you're touching it, and not just the top, you go down 2 or 3 inches or 2 inches, see what that soil is doing. If it seems to be drying out a lot, you may even want to consider putting a mulch on top of the soil to help hold some of that moisture from evaporating from the surface.
All right, let's grab a phone call from Catherine calling in from Bob Lane this morning. Catherine, what is your question?
Good morning. Yes, I have three beautiful hydrangeas. And they are the cherry, or what is the new color, the burgundy or whatever. But anyway, I'm wondering what is the best area to plant them, and they're shrubs. Mm-hmm. So what would be your recommendation? I have the north side, and I have the east side. That's kind of it.
Okay. I would probably go with east side so they get a little bit of sun. Also read the tags, that it'll tell you whether partial sun or full sun. Probably not full sun. So east side is perfect for almost all of our hydrangeas. Just wonderful. And if you can find the variety on the extension website, extension.umn.edu, Julie and company have a great information about pruning and a section on hydrangeas. And they may list that variety or that one actually in the website and let you know how to take care of that. Otherwise, the east side would be your best bet. Then you'll still get enough sun for blooms.
All right, very good. Texter asked this question. Most of our fall raspberry canes died over the winter that should have produced again in July, but new shoots are growing vigorously. This fall, should we mulch them before heading south in early November?
Well, you could. It depends on the soil. If the soil is not starting to freeze yet or well on its way to freezing, putting mulch on that kind of a soil can invite critters in that may live on the roots of the plants all winter long, so you don't want to do that. So it gets a little bit tricky. Normally, the raspberries are a really hardy plant. I would just make sure that before you go, you give them a good drink of water if the soil hasn't frozen. That would be one of the most important things, and then hope we get snow. If you have a contact somewhere in your neighborhood, and especially for the new canes that are coming up now, if you talk to them in December and we still have no snow and the ground still hasn't frozen, maybe they could give your raspberries one more drink. And then if you do have a bale of straw sitting around once the ground is frozen, if they would be nice enough, they could mulch the raspberries. But normally raspberries are pretty strong. We just had a a very weird winter this last winter, and we didn't get the snow cover we needed, and so the frost got kind of deep and may have just killed some plants. But the roots are fine, so they're coming back just fine for you. Good luck.
Okay. Texter says, my perennial hibiscus is still not sprouting this year. Did it not make it through the winter, or should I give it more time?
I would give it more time. If it's not up until by the 4th of July, then it's dead. But those hibiscus, they like to like hang out underground for a really long time until that soil's nice and warm and they know it's safe. Then they come up. So I tell people those plants that like to sleep in, I'd leave it till July 4th to say whether or not it's given up. And then at that time, you may even want to dig down carefully and see if the plant is alive or if it did succumb to a bad winter.
Okay. Well, you talked about garlic at the beginning of the show, and I'm looking at a text that says, is it true about garlic? If the bottom has more roots, it's grown in the U.S., but if it's bare with no roots, it's grown in China. I heard that a while back and always wondered about it.
The garlic that comes from the grocery stores. You know, I've heard similar things. I cannot say that that's true or not. You can, where you buy it, where you get your garlic from, it should say the country of origin. There should be a sign there. And that will tell you a lot. I would guess that the cleaner it is and the less, the less roots, that would be my indicator that maybe it came from a further distance away, whether or not it was another country or just out on the west coast or whatever. That would be debatable. But it should have a country of origin when you're buying it in the grocery stores. And if you're buying it at co-op and it doesn't have a country of origin, ask the manager or ask the store manager at your big store, where did this garlic come from? And then you can do your own research. But I've heard something like that, but I've never researched it, so I couldn't tell you yes or no.
Have you ever been to Gilroy, California?
I have not. The garlic capital of
yes.
the world, I hear. Yes. All things garlic.
It's true. And I recall on one of our Good Neighbor tours going through Gilroy, yes, as you approach the town, you can smell garlic all over the place. But that's quite the place. Gilroy, California.
And we also have out in Hutchinson, usually in August, Hutchinson, Minnesota, they run a big garlic festival.
All right.
You can often get things that are weird, like garlic ice cream, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the town doesn't smell like garlic, so because it's just for that one day. But that could be an option if you're interested in learning about garlic. They have great growers, and if they still have the festival going on, it's usually in August, so you can find out. Thank you, Hutchinson.
Yeah, we had that question early this morning. I think I'm going to try. I have never planted garlic. I think I'm going to do that this fall.
It's fun. It's fun.
Let's grab a phone call. Daryl has been hanging on the line. Daryl, what is your question for Teresa?
Yeah, I actually have a couple questions. First one, I have two dwarf Japanese garden junipers that are on the north side of the house. And the south side of them keeps dying, but the north side keeps growing. They're about three, 4 feet up from the house.
Okay, but the south side is right next to your house, correct?
Yeah, the south side. They're only about, a foot in diameter right now, but the south side keeps dying.
Okay. I would, first of all, go out there and look up. It could be that there's an overhang of your roof, and it's creating a rain shadow and a moisture shadow, so that part of the plant is not getting enough water. If so, pull them up and put them out another foot or two so that they can get a lot of water. Normally, the junipers, I would say, should go in a sunnier location, but perhaps they are a shade juniper that I'm not aware of. But that would be my first thinking. I would see what is the soil. And also, all winter long, if you keep your house warm and there's not a lot of insulation in that area, that warmth could cause that juniper that's closer to the house to keep staying too warm, meaning it's evaporating, it's losing moisture all winter long because it hasn't gone as dormant as the needles that are facing further away. In that case, too, just pulling it out from the house might help. Those would be two things that I would think about looking into for you. And thanks for waiting, Daryl.
Daryl, did you have one more?
Yeah, you had other questions, right?
Yeah, I have a hydrangea tree that half the leaves are really stressed and the other half look healthy. I don't know if there's...
Is it all on one side of the plant?
No, it's all throughout the tree. Where like on different branches, half the leaves on one branch are looking pretty stressed and the other half are really healthy looking.
Okay. I would think about if you can imagine how that that flows through the tree, that at one time all those leaves were like the same age together and something came through. Maybe it was a real dry, hot day, a sudden hot day, and they just kind of stressed the leaves when they were just coming out. Or it was a late frost, and that just was at those tips that were very tender. They got hit by a late frost during some, as they're coming out in the spring, but then the tree grew past that, and the new leaves are just fine. It sounds like if they're half of them, and it may have, so if you can imagine what that looks like on the tree, if you can place all those stressed leaves, if half of each of those stressed leaves are still photosynthesizing, they'll be okay. But that may give you an indication that, okay, when all of those leaves were the same age, something happened to them. Sprayed an herbicide, so they got a little damaged by that. And that stuff can drift on the wind if you're not careful, or it was hit by a frost or a really hot day. We had those days where it was suddenly 90 degrees, and then the next day it was cool. That just confuses us and the plants. So the leaves could have been small at that time and been hit by some stressor. But if it's outgrowing it and it's not on everything, I'd say your tree's going to be fine. You can always give it a little bit of fertilizer and just make sure it stays well watered as well as you can during the next season. And it'll come out of it just fine.
All right. We need to take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll be right back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney has been answering those questions this morning. You know, what we haven't mentioned, Teresa, yet is that great place called the Arboretum. Get out there.
Get out there. That's all I can say. Go out there. There's beautiful things. You can learn a lot. You can see pretty trees and plants and flowers. Go to the Arboretum.
And I tell you, I think it's just because it happened to me too, but if you go out there for the very first time, bring a friend, family, whatever, you're going to go, hey, I want to come back out here. There's more to see. You might even become a member. It's very reasonable.
Yeah.
And I just renewed my membership again today. What a great place. What a great resource.
And, you know, and the cool thing is if you do go out there for the first time and you find out that you really love it, become a member that day. Because they'll take what you've paid for yourself off your membership. Because you've already paid for it.
All right.
So they'll give you a little deal.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I believe they will do that. But, yeah, go to the Arboretum website, get your tickets, and you can learn all about the Arboretum fun stuff.
Get out there west on Highway 5 and 41, and you'll find it about half a mile down.
Half a mile down and turn south into the Arboretum.
Yep, great place. Listener wants to know, how do we get rid of Lily of the Valley?
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to laugh at you. Yes, I did. Okay. Lily of the Valley is really tough. It spreads by the rhizome, the roots. So just keep digging it up. You can use an herbicide on it. Follow the label and the instructions to the letter of the law, because the label is the law. But usually just digging it up and working at it. It may take a few sessions, a few years to catch all of them. But they can be removed. I planted a lily of the valley in my backyard, and it's no longer there. I didn't fight with it. It just didn't like where I planted it. So that was good for me. But, if you need to, you just dig it up and just toss it away. Yeah.
Right.
Don't put it in your compost. Send it to the city compost.
Teresa, this listener has said, I have powdery mildew on one of my rose bushes, and I'm wondering, what can I do to treat the bush?
You can use a fungicide. That's once you see powdery mildew and you start using a fungicide on it, you're always playing catch up. If you can think next year to watch earlier and spray before you see the powdery mildew. Also, we're going to have a lot of rain on and off the next few days, so I probably wouldn't do anything. But if we're going to have a clear spell where it's just going to be no rain for maybe a week or two, you can actually spray the plant with water, which sounds totally stupid, but you spray the plant with water. That free water actually kills the powdery mildew that's on the plant. And then hopefully there will be a nice wind. It will dry the plant off quickly in the morning. So you spray it first thing in the morning. It'll dry the plant off, and then the plant can stay dry for a number of days. And hopefully that might break your powdery mildew cycle. If you can get some more airflow around the plant, that would be good too, with some strategic pruning. And if it's just an area of your yard that doesn't get that, understand you may have to fight with that all the time. Maybe move the rows to a place where it gets more sun and less still air.
Okay, a little over a minute to go on the show. Okay. One more. Why did my 7 Russian sage plants die? I had them for years, and all other perennials are fine.
It was just the weird winter. We've heard people losing strange plants all season because we didn't have enough snow cover.
Okay.
And I just want to do a shout out.
Oh, yes, please.
Hennepin County Master Gardeners will be having their Learning Gardener Tour garden tour on July 12th. You can find information at the Extension website. Look way down at the bottom for events.
And when
okay,
is
I'm ready
that again?
For your next question. Okay.
When
July 12th. It's a Saturday. And I believe it's in like the southwest suburbs, so it's a self-guided tour.
I have a feeling you'll be with us before that time.
I will the week before, so I'll mention it again. Yeah, but you can get tickets early. So
let's do a real fast one here, Teresa. Is there a natural way to get rid of dandelions that are taking over the yard?
Pulling them up. Get a dandelion puller. Make sure they don't go to seed. Chop off the heads before they go to seed if you enjoy the flowers. And then just get one of those dandelion pullers. Pull up as much as you can. Understand the big taproot may send up another shoot later. Just be on the aware. Looking, that would be the easiest, most natural way.
On the other hand, the bees love them.
The bees love them. Kids love picking them for mom or grandma or grandpa. You know, they look pretty.
Make some wine. Stuff like
make
that.
Make some wine.
All right.
Make some battered fritters or something. Ground up the root for coffee substitute. I don't know. Eat the leaves if they're safe. You know, you can do
all right,
lots
Teresa.
Of things.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
We got to run.
Thank
Let's
you.
Talk soon.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah.
Teresa,
bye-bye.
Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.